In the words of a king, there is power. And as we behold him with unveiled faces, we're transformed into the very image of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dr. K. Ijishesan, brought to you by Kingswood Ministries International. We believe that as you listen, faith is stirred up in you to become all that God has called you to be.
This morning, we're going to be continuing the Spirit of Faith series, and today should be 4.0, right? Am I right? And interestingly enough, what I'm going to be teaching today is kind of linked to what I taught in the boot camp on Friday. I'm not if you are blessed by the mystery of rest. I'm not if you are blessed, the mystery of rest. The mystery of rest. I've come to realize that rest is one of the most essential revelations that every believer should be established in. And what makes rest so powerful is because rest is the meeting point of faith and grace. Write it down. Rest is the meeting point of the grace of God and what? Your faith in Christ Jesus. There's no way you will find yourself in rest that faith and grace will not meet. Rest is the perfect atmosphere for the grace of God to meet with your faith in Christ. And you can see why rest is so crucial. You must understand how to rest. And one of the things I'm going to be teaching you today is I'm going to be showing you from the word practical ways to rest. There's so much unrest in our world. And if you don't learn how to rest, you will get overwhelmed in the unrest around us. I won't lie to you. There's unrest everywhere. There's unrest in Africa. There's unrest in North America. There's unrest everywhere. Because the Bible says, in this world, you will have tribulations. There's unrest. There's unrest in our country. Oh, you don't think so? I mean, it's a major unrest. We're going to end up with two candidates that are about 80 years old as the presidential candidates. That's a serious problem. When I came into this country 25 years ago, I never knew America would come to that place. I mean, my dad is 80. I won't vote for him to be a counselor. Can we be real this morning? It's a serious problem. For the Republican to say, as big as this nation is, the only person that we deserve is Trump. And for the Democrats to say Biden should come back, there's a problem. Can we be real? It's a real problem. At that age, you should be playing with your grandchildren. I'm serious. You can dress it and redress it. And some of you are very political that you are so blind. That even when the truth is being said, because of your political bias, you won't see it. There is a problem. This one, it's just that this one is now has become so obvious that this is a problem. On the political platform, there's a major problem. So wherever you look at in the natural, there's so much opportunity for you to be in an unrest mood. All it takes for you to lose your peace is to spend some time watching CNN or BBS or BBC. Say BBS. BBC. Which other news? Fox. ABC. NBC. Now, there's no of the C. That's something good to say. But in Christ, there's rest. Lift up your two hands and shout, in Christ.
In Christ.
Lift up your two hands and shout, in Christ.
In Christ.
And by the way, as I'm teaching, if you are looking at your phone, you are in disobedience. Shut that phone down. Don't watch any update. Listen to me. And I'm not talking to anybody. I just picked it up in my spirit. It's a wrong attitude. Focus on the word. Say, lift up your two hands one more time and say, in Christ,
in Christ.
I rest.
I rest.
Outside of Christ,
there is unrest.
So we need to drum it into your ears. In Christ, there's what? Rest. Outside of Christ, there's what? unrest. No, the two scriptures that we looked at the beginning, during the communion, Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 10, shows the commitment of God to our rest. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 10. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 10. Can you read it? 1, 2, 3, go. He said, for God is giving you the land to inherit. Not only the land to inherit, but he's also going to give you what? Rest from all your enemies round about. So I'm not just giving you a land full of trouble. I'm giving you a land accompanied with what? Rest round about. And in Joshua 23 verse 1, we see the manifestation. Let's go to Joshua chapter 23 verse 1. Joshua 23 and verse 1. Joshua 23:1. Now let's read it. 1, 2, 3, go. Now I want you to take note of the phrase "a long time."
Yes.
Hey, in other words, it became their normal. So it was not just that they tasted rest and they went back to unrest. A long time. Turn to your neighbor, say, a long time.
A long time.
A long time. After Joshua, after the Lord. But remember, it was who that gave them the rest? The Lord. The Lord gave them the rest. And, you know, Joshua was old and advanced in age. Now, go to 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 1. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 1. I'm trying to establish something this morning. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 1. Can we read it? So we see how God helped this king. And that's how God's going to help you in this season.
Yeah.
He said, God gave... You know, there were kings that all they did was war. How can you even enjoy the blessing of God when you are busy fighting? And that's why when people are always talking warfare, warfare, I'm like, I'm not. I think I prefer rest. Say, we're in warfare. No, I'm in rest. The Lord said that to my Lord, sit down at my right hand. Don't you never say, I'm not in warfare. Come on, get on your feet, get on your feet, get on your feet. This is powerful. This is important. Now, tell somebody, say, I'm not in warfare.
I'm in rest.
You know, the Bible says the Lord said unto my Lord, sit down until I make your enemies your footstool. Now, say it one more time. Say, I'm not in warfare.
I'm not in warfare.
I'm at rest.
I am at rest.
You may be seated. Very, very important. So God gave this king rest from all. Who is that king? Is that king here? Oh, where is the king? I'm looking for the king. Because apparently this 2 Samuel chapter 7 was written about a king in this house. Where's the king? Where's the king? This king. So I've just given you a scripture for your week. When the king, now it came to pass, when the king was dwelling in his house. Hey, who is that king? He said, the Lord had given him rest from what? All his enemies all round. Now go to 1 Chronicles chapter 22 verse 9. I'm building something. I'm going somewhere. 1 Chronicles chapter 22 and the 9th verse. Today I'm talking about the power of rest. 1 Chronicles chapter 22 verse 9. Can we read it? Hey, Pastor Muyo, I love that phrase, a man of rest. Now, turn to your neighbor, say, if you're a man, you're a man. If you're a woman, you're a woman. So I put it, say, I'm a man.
Of rest.
You know, Solomon did not fight a single war. David fought so much that God had to promise him, don't worry. His son is coming out of you that will not need to what? Fight. Some of you, the battles your parents fight, you have no business fighting it. Said, there's warfare in a line lineage. So, no. The warfare stopped with you.
Yes.
Who am I talking to? You? I said, don't give me any education on warfare. Then, you know, you should know our family, we always fight. No. The warfare ends with what? You. I'm a man of rest. He said, his name shall be what? Called Solomon. He will have rest from what? All his enemies. And he went on to say, I will give him peace. Do you know, interesting enough, that word peace is from the Hebrew word shalom. And one of the things that that peace carries is prosperity. I will give him what? Peace and quietness to Israel all his days. So we can see from the scriptures that there is a promise of rest, that God has a commitment to our rest. But there's something we need to understand, that there is a state of rest that precedes the manifestation of rest. Write it down. There is a what? A state of what? Rest that precedes the what? The manifestation of rest. Before the outward rest, there is an inward rest. If you miss the inward rest, you will not experience what? The outward rest. You know, people get so fixated on the outward rest and they forget that there is an inward rest that precedes it. The Bible was talking in the book of Hebrews chapter 4 concerning the church in the wilderness, the children of Israel that came out of Egypt. He said, there remains a rest for the people of God, because those people, in spite of the fact that they were promised rest, they did not receive it. But I love what verse 3 says, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3. He said, but we that what? Have believed. He said, we have entered into his rest. So talking about this rest that God brings is not a product of effort. It's not a product of your performance. It's a product of God working. You receiving it. In fact, he says, you enter into it by believing. You enter into it by believing. Say after me, say, I believe and I rest. Come on, shout rather than care. Say, I believe and I rest. You know, God is so particular about this rest principle that all over the scripture, you will see rest everywhere, rest everywhere. Immediately, he made man. The next thing, the Bible says, he rested on the seventh day. And we're made to understand that he did not rest for himself, but he rested for us. He rested so that we can see a picture of how we are expected to function. He literally did that so that you and I can have a picture, an image, that we function from rest. Man was made, and the moment he made man on the sixth day, on the seventh day, he rested. Oh my God, he rested. At this point, I want to give you a very simple definition of what I call biblical rest. Biblical rest. Biblical rest speaks of an inward quietness. Inward quietness that is characterized by three things. One, a relaxed state void of anxiety or fear. Write it down. Biblical rest speaks of inward what? Quietness. Quietness. You know, when I think of biblical rest, my mind goes to Mark chapter 4, when Jesus was on the boat and there was storm. And yet he was asleep. The reason why he could sleep was because there was an inward quietness that no exterior or external storm could impact. A relaxed state void of what? Anxiety or fear. So the presence of anxiety or fear is an indicator you are not in rest. Inward quietness characterized by what? a relaxed state, void of what? Secondly, it speaks of, is characterized by a strong sense of divine approval. People that rest, they don't need to impress because they accept it. I've not done enough. All the things I've submitted. Is it okay? If God be for me, who can be against me? If God approved me so much that he made his son to die for me, what else can he not give me? I'm approved by God. People that are at rest, they don't walk around with a sense of condemnation. They don't carry guilt because they are aware that Jesus carried guilt and condemnation for them. Inward quietness, which is characterized by a relaxed state, devoid of what? Anxiety or fear. Then in addition, they walk around with a sense of what? Divine approval. They are already accepted. A man wants to break up with you. You don't even allow him to say, I've broken up with you. Just go. I was just managing you all this way. Believing that you will change. So please, 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 please. You are a project. And you know, all of a sudden you are feeling big. Just because somebody said no to you does not mean you are nothing. You know, a few months ago, one of the church members made me realize that an amazing job that God gave her, that she even came to give a testimony about. All of a sudden, 2 months or so into the job, the new company that acquired the job says, okay, we're going to be laying you off. And they gave her till April. Said, by April, you are gone. So I was informed. And I'm like, okay, is that all they said? I said, yes. I said, it's nothing. So maybe it's even an opportunity to get a better job. So what kind of a pastor are you? Somebody just told you something very, very serious. And that's the kind of response. Because I live from rest. Amen. Just because somebody announced that they're going to lay off somebody off does not mean anything. Yes. Well. So I said, okay, maybe it's an opportunity to upgrade. And I moved on. Fast forward, last week. Sir, they changed their mind. Not only did they change their mind, I was offered another position. So, I now have to choose. So, in fact, he had to put the mind of his manager to rest. Don't worry, I won't leave you. I won't take the other job. The same manager that sent email to you that by April you'll be gone now is afraid that he will lose you. Turn to you and I will say, rest.
Yes.
Come on, scream one more time. Say, rest. Yes. There will always be funny news. Write it down, funny news. Funny news. News is nothing. Yeah. And that is the device of the enemy. Yes. Oh, they said. They've always been saying. Let them say, I rest. Can you imagine? Jesus was going on a mission sanctioned by God. Mark chapter 4 from verse 35. And the Bible says there was a storm. Was Jesus out of the will of God? No. And yet, there was a stop. Because some of us, the moment you have a little challenge, it's like, oh, maybe I miss God. Could it be the storm came because you got God? Is it possible that the storm came because the enemy is scared? Because we are made to realize in Mark chapter 5, there was a madman of Gadaran that was about to be delivered, and that was where Jesus was going. It could be that it was a demon in this man, this madman. They saw Jesus coming, so they were disturbed. They said, let's do something to derail the journey. The storm came because there's an assignment.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
I don't give up because of a storm.
Yes, sir.
The report of storm means nothing to me.
Amen.
Because I already had the word from the Lord saying, let us go to the other side.
Yeah.
The other side is what counts. I don't need any news updates. The word I had from the beginning is relevant.
Yes.
Because our problem is that you are looking for news update from wrong channels. What are they saying? What did the doctor say? What did the accountant say? A sense of divine approval. I'm settled. I'm fine. What was done over 2,000 years ago is still relevant. And if there's any news update you want to give me, make sure it's a news update that is consistent with what was done over 2,000 years ago. All this current news are fake news. The authentic one was said. And the Bible says concerning all his promises, they are yea and amen. Turn to your neighbor and whisper to his or her ears, rest. 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 The third characteristic of this inward quietness is what I call a confident expectation of the future. Oh my God, people that are at rest, when they see the future, they're excited, not perturbed. Do you know you can be earning $250,000 a year and be disturbed about the future? What if the company shuts down? What if I now turn to your name one more time, say auntie, uncle, brother, sister, whatever your title, rest. Somebody shout rest. So the proof that you are at rest is, number one, you will have a sense of divine approval. Number two, you will have a relaxation that is devoid of anxiety or fear. And thirdly, you will have a confident expectation of the future. Hallelujah. You are there and the devil is constructing and deconstructing. He's building a tower, three levels, and you sit down meditating and you are sinning. Some of us think sin is when somebody is messing with someone else's wife. When you think evil, you are in sin. That is evil thinking. What if all my children mess up? You're a sinner. Because you just betrayed the covenant. He said, great shall be the peace of your children. He said, your children will be taught of the Lord. Is that what you're supposed to be thinking? Yeah. You stand and say, you know, anything can go wrong. Did you hear about the news of that other child that was on drug? Come on, where are you receiving your news? Who is feeding you? How come those are the things on your mind? A confident expectation of the future, where you are concerned, where your marriage is concerned, where your career is concerned, where the call of God upon your life is concerned, where your finances are concerned. You're 25 or you're already thinking about a broke 75-year-old man. That's the picture of you. I don't care how much saving you do, you will still be broke. Because you are not at rest. You know, prayer, as powerful as it is, if it's not done from a position of rest, is a waste. Because rest is the highest place, or should I say the height of faith. When you're at rest, you're in faith. So when you see fear, when you see anxiety, when you see I'm not worthy, when you see, oh, I'm scared of the future, you are not in faith. Because rest comes with no fear, no anxiety, confident expectation of the future, a sense of approval. You can't dress me down. It's too late. Jesus already made me to sit with him. Hey, I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. And you're saying, I'm not your class. I don't know your class, but I know my class. I'm Jesus' class. Join with Christ, one with Christ. The same life that Christ has, I have as he is, so I am in this world. Don't talk me down. My bank account is not what gives me my sense of prosperity. Is the grace of our Lord Jesus. Oh, Makataya, I'm at rest. So rest starts from that inward quietness. You just relax, no anxiety, no fear, confident where the future is concerned. And you know what? You walk around with your shoulder squared. I know myself. I know who I am. I'm joined with the Lord. I'm one with Christ. Hey, lakasota. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. If God be for me, who can be against me? I'm not defined by the storm. Lift up your two hands and shout, I'm not defined.
I'm not defined
by the storm.
By the storm.
You know, the moment you allow any little storm to throw you off and you begin to run around like chicken without head all over the place. Some of you are wondering, can a chicken be without head? Yes, I've seen a few times. No, I've described some of the, you know, the Christmas, whatever. There are times that, you know, I don't know how they do it. You just say, that's how some people run around. Any little challenge. I don't know what to do. And they open their mouth and begin to say all manner of rubbish. Storm will come.
Yes, sir.
But in the midst of the storm, I sleep. Jesus knew about the storm, and yet he slept. So the presence of the storm does not mean you are out of the will of God. And don't allow the storm to stop your sleep. Jesus was able to sleep because there was an inward quietness that could not be touched by the storm externally. I rest. Come on, shout one more time. I rest.
I rest.
Scream one more time. Say, I rest.
I rest.
There's an atmosphere that rest supplies. An atmosphere that makes the faith of God to meet with the grace of God. I rest. I rest. I rest. There is power in rest. Let me show you a few scriptures. Genesis chapter 2, verse 21. Genesis chapter 2, verse 21. Genesis chapter 2, verse 21. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 21. It says, and the Lord God cast a deep sleep. Not just any kind of sleep. A deep sleep. To fall on Adam. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in his place. Verse 22. The next verse, please. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to what? To the man. But she was made while he was sleeping.
Yes, sir.
She was made while he was sleeping. Only God knows how many things you have missed out just because you will not sleep. God wants to make, and you are keeping vigil. What do I do? What do I do? Sleep, rest, 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 so that God can make.
Hallelujah.
So God makes when men sleep.
Yes,
your lack of sleep robs you of new products. This product called woman, and come on, I've been married for, 25 years, a match. You know, it's a very, very mysterious product. You would have thought after 25 years, I would have mastered it. I'm still on that course. Wow. You know, when I was young in marriage, I was very, very foolish. You know, you think your wife is like you. You're practical, do it this way. And you'll be like, no, baby, no, do it this way. Ah, do you want to live long? You know, you don't have to understand. Just say, okay, baby. Okay, baby. You pick your fight. The major ones, that's why you say, you can't win it. And all the foolish men that want to win every argument. Remember, don't forget the qualification, foolish man. It's only a foolish man that is out to win
every debate, every argument. No. And you let her win. It's okay. Even when you don't agree with me. Even when you know it won't work. It's okay. It's okay. So you wait for the major ones. Maybe I should have this in men's conference. I'm serious. No, no, no. You can overuse your no. And the day you will really need the no, your no will have no effect. That's how deep women are. You say, baby, should we do it? Yes. Even when I don't agree, she'll say, it's okay. Because they're different from you. They are wired differently. The way they see. I mean, my wife pulled a James Bond on me about 2 weeks ago. I mean, we just finished pastor's retreat, Thursday to Saturday, intense. So I was going, I was supposed to be going to barb my hair because my baba went, end of vacation, so I didn't barb for like 6 weeks. So I'm like, okay, from the retreat, let me go and barb my hair. So she said, oh, she'll be going home. Only to get a call 25 minutes after. Baby, I'm on my way to the airport. Which airport? Tell me as a play. And I'm like, we knew about the play. It really mean a lot to so what do you want me to do? He said, buy me a ticket. It shall be bought. Did he make any sense to me? No. We just finished everything. Let's go already. That's how she drove to the airport, parked the car at the airport, flew to St. Louis, and came back on Sunday morning to be in church. Then she said, I'm going to Urbana Champagne. When? After service. I said, baby. He said, no, I need to go. I said, yes, you need to go. You need to go. I mean, and all the men in the house, you know, you're thinking like, the girl sure does that, the man. I'm like, but we can go next week. He said, no, I have to go today because I promised him I'm bringing jollof rice. I'm like, what? So she drove to Urbana Champagne. You know, I would have even went with her, but I had a meeting at 3 on Zoom. So I said, baby, I feel bad. I said, don't feel bad, it's me. She drove, dropped jollof rice 15 minutes and turned back and came to Chicago. You can never understand it. So when she came back, I said, superwoman. Twenty years ago, I was, baby, you're not going. Don't. What can I do to make your trip, which is already stressful, less what? Stressful. Not you using your practical mind. You will never understand it. I mean, is it money? Let me send money. How much do you need? I'll sell it. I said, no. Take your love rice. Why you're not a courier service? Well, that's women for you. So when she got to Urbana, I was like, okay. I said, oh, I'm already on the way out. She just, because the boy was even busy. She was preparing for an exam the following day. So it's like, drop it, come back. But she was fulfilled. No, I will not be fulfilled. As a man, you practicality. What's the practicality? Why should I drive 5 hours for jollof rice? And she prepared the jollof rice like 2-3 days before. It's like, I'm like, just say you are missing your son. You want to see him. Creative product was pulled out of man. Very unique. But it was sleeping. Genesis chapter 15 verse 12. Are you getting something out of this? So all the men that want to be in charge all the time, I'm the man of this house. You are not the man. If you are saying you are the man of the house, that means that you are not the man. Because if you are the man, you should know better.
Okay, baby.
Even when you don't understand, I understand. Let us say I understand.
You know, as a man, what you love most is peace. And that's the secret to peace. I'm sharing with you the secret to peace.
Secret to peace, I understand. Don't impose your personality or the way you are. You will never understand.
It's okay. Okay. 1, 2, 3, go.
So call them.
Hello. Yes, so cut the long story short, in Genesis chapter 15, verse 12, God made a covenant with man, what we know as Abrahamic covenant. And look at what happened again. He said, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, and behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. The long and the short of the story was God walked in between the blood and the covenant was made with Abraham. Until today, that covenant is relevant. But it happened when man was sleeping. Psalm 127. Wow. Are you loving this morning? Just relax. Psalm 127 from verse 1. I think I know it off head. Except the Lord. Build the house, the labor. Okay, let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. Move. I must do something. Maybe what this beloved needs now is sleep. Because your effectiveness, your productivity, your creativity, your multiplication is tied to your rest. Matthew chapter 14, verse 19. The disciples were all over the place. They didn't learn their lesson from the storm. Oh, what do we do? It's a deserted place. How do we feed thousands of people? Don't you think you should send them away? And Jesus was as calm as cucumber. He said, what do you have? He said, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, bring it to me. And the next thing, verse 19, Matthew chapter 14, he commanded them to sit. It was not a suggestion. Maybe not peradventure if you want to not sit. What I'm about to do will require you to sit. Sit, calm down. Oh, but there are only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Sit. We don't have enough money in the bank account. Sit. Are we going to buy a house at this rate? Sit. And the next thing, he took the 5 loaves and 2 fish. That was not enough. Looked up unto heaven, gave thanks, and bam, he gave what was not enough, supposedly, in the hands of disciples, and there was multiplication. There's a sleep protocol that is critical to the workings of God. And to show you this was not just by accident, Matthew chapter 15, verse 35, a similar incident. This time around, 4,000 men, not even mentioning the woman that needed to be fed. And what will Jesus say again? He commanded the multitude to sit down. Rest protocol. We need to do something. Maybe what we need to do is calm down. Inward quietness. Oh, we have not saved enough for the kids. Relax. We have not saved enough for our retirement. Listen, just me, 401k cannot take you. In fact, 401k is overrated. Rest. There is a God that cares for you. I'm not saying you should not do things in the natural. I'm not saying you should not have money, set apart. But all these things cannot keep you. Rest. The effectiveness, the productivity, multiplication,
creativity of man is all tied to man's rest. Listen, it's when men rest that God works best. You know, in the ministry of Jesus, at several instances on the Sabbath day, when men were not supposed to walk, Jesus will walk into the temple, see a woman who has been bent over for the last 18 years, and the next thing is a woman, you are loosed. Boom. And they are wondering, no man is supposed to walk. Yes, but that's when God walks. Grace works better when men rest. What about the case of a man with a withered hand? Jesus walked into the temple. Boom. He was restored. What about a man, the case of a man who was born blind in John chapter 9. Jesus saw him. Boom. Eyes restored. What about that man who had 38 years infirmity? On the day when men were not supposed to walk, God walked effectively. So wherever you see Jesus, you can as well put grace. Because the Bible says, he was literally grace personified. Of his fullness, we have all received. Full of what? Grace and truth. So grace walked in and resolved issues when men were resting. All over the scripture, you will see the principle of Sabbath. Jubilee. Sabbath. God says, can you give me an opportunity to do my wonders? Not magic. But my wonders are effected when you are in rest. Except the Lord builds the house, the labor in vain that builds. Except the Lord keeps the city, the watchman wakes up in vain. It is vain to rise up early and to sit up late. For so the Lord gives sleep to his beloved. Are you God's beloved? Lift up your two hands and shout, I receive God's rest. As I close this morning, I want to give you 5 practical ways to rest. Write it down. Please, media, take your time up away. I don't want to see it. Shut it down. It's disturbing me. Thank you. 5 ways to rest. If you're not an apostle, don't do the same. 5 ways to rest. Number one, 5 ways to rest. Casting of cares. Write it down. Casting of cares. Casting all your cares. Now, listen, I won't promise you that there will not be issues. But God says, put it on my shoulder. And he did not say most. He said, casting all your cares on God, for he cares. Now, until you learn to cast your cares, you will not know he cares. Just say, Lord, concerning this issue, I put it on you. I will not think about it. And the proof that you have cast your cares is that you are not thinking on it. 1 Peter 5:7. 2. I'm going to be done in a minute. 5 practical ways to rest. 2. Take no thought for tomorrow. Matthew 6:34. Take no thought for tomorrow. Some of us major in thinking about tomorrow. What is going to happen tomorrow? What we have? God says is evil, is wrong. Relax, enjoy the day. He said, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow we worry about his own things. He says, sufficient for the day is his own trouble. Apparently, listen, the grace you are given is to take care of today. When you cross over to tomorrow, you are not covered. His mercies are new every day, every morning. So enjoy the mercy for today. Concerning tomorrow, trust God. Oh, I'm very futuristic. You should be. But don't worry about tomorrow. You can plan for tomorrow, but there's a difference between planning, because some people now say, take note of tomorrow. I have no plans for my future. I did not say that. There's a difference between planning for tomorrow and worrying for tomorrow. Don't think tomorrow, I just enjoy the day. That's not what I'm talking about. Worry is what you don't do. You plan for tomorrow. 3. I hope you are getting this amazing truth. Three. Set your mind on Christ and his finished work. Set your mind. You set. Now listen, the reason why your mind is everywhere is because you have not given it something to be set on. Colossians chapter 3 verse 2. Set your mind or set your affection on things above, not on things below. Christ is above, the Christ that finished your redemption. Let what he did over 2,000 years ago be your primary reality. He's seated. Why is he sitting above? Because he finished. So live your life like Christ finished. I love Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3. He said, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind stays on thee, for he trusts you. So you can only be kept to the extent to which you put your mind on him. He said, for he trusts in you. So your faith in God is released when your mind is on him. I've given you how many now? Four, be intentional about thanksgiving. You want to rest? Major in thanksgiving. Philippians chapter 4 verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. And that wheat is a major wheat. It's like you know, when you make your stew or whatever you do, you know, there's certain ingredients that if you don't put it there, it's like it doesn't taste right. With all the things you have applied and put together, you're like, you are not so excited to eat it. Your prayer without thanksgiving is like that. Don't just do prayer and supplication. Put thanksgiving. Lift up your two hands and shout, I'm thankful. Come on, scream and shout and say, I'm thankful. When you live in thanksgiving, you will live in rest. Jesus had 5 loaves and 2 fishes and there were 5,000 men to feed. What will he say? Father, I thank you. Some of you will just run into prayer of warfare. Father, I thank you. Father, I thank you. You know, the life of a new creation is a life of thanksgiving, in whom we have redemption, giving thanks unto the Father, who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, in whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of our sins. He forgave you even before you were born. Father, I thank you. The blood is so real. Father, I thank you. Makosatabala. Lakaka. And the last but not the least, be consumed with the love of God. You know, when I came up, we started singing, Jesus loves me. Yes, I know. You know, there's something about when you are rooted and grounded in the love of God. You rest in the love that God has for you so much that regardless of what is happening around you, you are not moved. Because that love is more real to you than the affliction you are dealing with. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. He said that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. What love is he talking about? Verse 18. I'm going to read all the way to verse 19. Verse 18 says that you may know. Give me verse 18, please. I may be able to comprehend with all the same what is the width and length and depth and height. Verse 19 now says, to know. Lift up your two hands and say, I know. The love of Christ. Get on your feet. Let the love of Christ become your fresh revelation. He loves me. Do you know how much I'm going through? Do you know how much he loves me? Do you know he loved me enough to die for me? Greater love has no man than this, than for a man to lay down his life for his friends. That is how much I'm loved. If you do these 5 things, you will stay in rest. And when you stay in rest, you'll be productive, you'll be creative, you will multiply. Your faith will work effectively. The spirit of faith flies when rest is embraced. I don't do life in unrest. He created me and he said, I'm resting. He just gave me a picture of how my life rolls. My life functions from a place of rest. So today, I arrest every unrest. Oh, you didn't hear me. Somebody say, I arrest every unrest. No storm will steal my sleep.
in the midst of storms, I'm still sleeping.
We hope you've been richly blessed by this teaching from Kingswood Ministries International. Feel free to visit our website at kingswood.org for more inspiring teachings by Dr. K. Ijishason. There you'd also find other helpful materials and further information about this ministry. God bless you richly.